Today's daf is Samach Aleph. We're going to start at Samach Amud Bet at the bottom, the first wide line, O-A-No. So according to, you can look back at the sheet from yesterday, if you have it, according to the drashot we saw yesterday, we had, V'heveta et ha-mincha asher yaseh me'ela la-Hashem, v'kura la-Kohen b'gisha la-Mizbeach. And so we said the word V'heveta, Rabbi Shimon Darshan, to include the Minchata Omer that Hagashah applies, and according to Rabbi Huda, it was to include the Minchat Sota. So now the Gemara suggests, how do you know that you can even darshan vehebeta? Maybe we need vehebeta for something else. Oh, we know Omer vehebeta, ela sheyachibin nadevu mebi mincha acheret chutz me'ela shebainyan. Maybe vehebeta means, even though all these menachot described here are with solet, maybe you could bring it from some other type. Vehebeta is an inclusive word to say, not that it includes another type of mincha, but that when you bring this mincha, maybe you could bring it made out of something else, like seoim. Vidinhu, and it would be logical. Why? Tzibur mevim mincha min achitim chova, umevim mincha min asoim chova. If when the communal offering is brought, it can be brought either from chitim, because there's communal offers brought from chitim, and there's also communal offers brought from the seoim, which is that, the minchata omer. So therefore, you would say, "Af yachid shem yavim mincha min achitim nedava, yavim mincha min asoim nedava." So just like an individual can bring a mincha from the chitim, because that's what it talks about in the psukim, maybe you can also bring a mincha from the soim, and that's what Beheveta is coming to say. Talmud lomar eile. Therefore, it says, no. Beheveta t'mincha asher yaseh me'eile. Me'eile means from what was described, meaning only solet. Then they say, okay, but only ela ele. So when we say el ele, does that mean only chitim? Only ela ele. Okay, so that's the first drasha. So we say maybe vehebeta isn't free to darshan what we wanted to darshan, because maybe we need vehebeta to say you could even bring it from the sorim. And then they say no. That's why the pasuk says me'ele, only from chitim. Now they say, wait a minute, you're saying Eile means that. If Eile means not Zorim, then Beheveta is free, right? Because Beheveta isn't coming to tell you yes Zorim. But now they say maybe Eile is for something else. O Eino Omer Eile, Ela la Omer Hare Alai Mincha Shemevi Chamishtan. Maybe Eile is coming to tell you, for someone who says Hare Alai Mincha, you might have thought you could bring, or maybe you need to bring all five types. So remember, there's five types of nidavot. I actually thought today would be a good day to review what the five types are, because it's not such a long daf. So let's go through. There's minchat solet, right? Of that, that's a regular mincha. Then, right, there's machvat, marcheshet, chalot, and rikikin. So how do you do all those? So the machvat, you fry it first in oil in a low pan, like a frying pan, machvat, the regular Hebrew word. You fry it in the frying pan, and then these are all, right, the regular one, okay, let's just go back, the regular one isn't baked before you do the kmitza, but all the other four are baked or fried or something before you do the kmitza. So the machvat is fried in oil in a little bit, you know, in a low pan, which is kind of hard. The marcheshet is fried in a deeper pan, which means kind of more oil, deeper pan, and as a result, it's softer. Then we have the ma'afet tanur, where we have the chalot and the rikikin. So the difference between them is they get baked first, but do you put the oil before it's baked? That's the chalot. And the rikikin are harder. You put them in the oven before you add the oil, and then you brush oil on them afterwards. And then all of those, you do the kmita after the process of the baking.
Crumble them up.
You crumble them, right. So then, with the ones that are harder, you have to crumble them up into little pieces and then take the kmita from there. And then there was a whole debate, is kmita such a hard thing to do? Is it not? And why? And how big the pieces are?
The standard minchat solet is just the kemah, the solet, and you do the kmita from the actual flour.
Right, you do the kmita from the actual flour in the regular one. Okay, all the other ones are baked in some way before. So now they're suggesting, maybe you would have thought, if it said Eile, it would have meant you have to bring from all these five. Eile is referring to all the other types that we saw, so maybe you'd have to bring all five. Talmud lamar me Eile. Ratza achat mevi. Ratza chamishtan mevi. Therefore it says me Eile. Me always means from those, meaning not all of those. So what does it teach you? You can do all if you want, but you don't have to. You can bring just one of them if you want. So that gets us back to, we need the Eile we need the me'ele to darshan. One thing we need, ele to darshan. Another thing, and that leaves be'beita panoi for the drashot we saw before. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Now we're going to get back to Rabbi Shimon. Et ha-mincha, we're going back also to the first thing we darshan. Et ha-mincha, first we said, was to include minchat chote la-hagasha. Now Rabbi Shimon has a different drasha on that. Et ha-mincha l'rabot shar menachot. That includes more minachot, not just the minchat chote, but also kigon minchat nochrim, minchat nashim lahagasha. Okay, the minchat, the non-Jew, and the women, that both of those need hagasha. Again, hagasha is, you have to bring it to the mizbeach in the kli. The kli touches the mizbeach, and it has to be brought to, you can look at the map now, to the corner, the southwestern corner, which is basically opposite the exit to the heichal. Right, that's assuming if you have the mizbeach. That's Daron. If you have the mizbeach in the I was wrong yesterday. Right, so the mizbeach would have to be all in the Daron for the Keren Maravit Romit to be. No, sorry, I was right. It has to be in the Tzafon. Right. It has to be moved over to the Tzafon. Exactly. If it's moved over to the Tzafon, that the whole mizbeach, not the ramp, but the whole mizbeach is in the Tzafon, then right when you walk out of the heichal, because remember the exit to the heichal is right smack in the middle of the room. So you'd end up at the southwestern corner when you walk out of the heichal. So that would be if the mizbeach was kulo b'tzafon. Okay. Now, so he says that includes all the other ones. Yachol, so if it's already including all these menachot, so why don't we include all of them? Right? Yachol shani marbe, af shtei alechem v'lechem apanim. They don't need hagasha. So now they say, Talmud lamar, me'ele. Okay. Me'ele comes to limit. Even though we use me'ele for something else, now we're using it for this. Umara itala rabot shar menachot ulohotzi shtei alechem alechem apanim. Why? And it sounds arbitrary. Why are those yes and those no? So you get the rhythm here. We keep saying the same thing. She'en mehem, sorry, marbe ani shar menachot she'en mehem leishim. Umotzi ani et shtei alechem alechem apanim. Sheyesh mehem leishim, umotzi ani shtei alechem alechem apanim, she'ei mehem leishim. If I'm going to include things, I'm going to include things that are similar. In what way are they similar? You burn parts of them on the fire. Whereas, the shtei alechem alechem apanim, nothing gets burned on the fire. V'halo minchat nesachim, kula leishim, yachol yehetu na'agasha. What about minchat nesachim? Minchat nesachim doesn't need hagasha. Okay, that's in the category of no tznufa and no hagasha. You can look back at your chart if you have it. So that is all burned. So why wouldn't you say that it needs hagasha? If you're saying the criteria is that it's burned. Talmud lamar vihi kriva. Now they say we use the word vihi kriva to limit, to say, hi kriva is going to be limiting. What's it going to limit? It's got to limit something else. So we'll say it limits minchat nesachim. So now they say, wait a minute, look at our chart. Didn't we already learn from Vihi Kriva? Didn't Rabbi Shimon Darshan that it teaches us Minchat Sota Lahagasha? And how could we then say it's coming to limit something else? So they say, right, Baha Fikte, didn't we already learn something from there? Remember, we're in Rabbi Shimon right now. So now we're saying, how could Rabbi Shimon Darshan Vihi Kriva to say it excludes Nisachim when he already said Vihi Kriva was to include Minchat Sota? So the obvious is Vihi Kri, Vihi Kriva. Okay, we can Darshan the two parts of the word. There's vihi kriv, you have to bring it, which then comes to include not only that, but something else. And then the it, meaning only it and not something else. So it's going to both be including and excluding. Uma ra'ita. Now again. Ma ra'ita l'rabot shar menachot ulotzi minchat nesachim. And where we start with? The lechem, the shtei lechem and the lechem apanim. I'll just call the lechem on the board for right now. The lechem ones are excluded because ein mehem leishim. But why the minchat nesachim? Why are we going to exclude the minchat nesachim when that does get burned? So there's got to be a different reason for that. Marbe ani shar menachot sheba'ot biglal atzman, umotzi ani minchat nesachim she'ein ba biglal atzman. Remember, that means we bring the nesachim only on account of a korban. It goes alongside a korban. It's not significant in and of itself. It's only an accessory to something else. So because of that, we're going to exclude that one because that's already got a little less significance. V'halo minchat kohanim u'minchat kohen mashiach ba'o biglal atzman yochol yehu t'unot hagasha. If you recall in the beginning, we saw the Mishnah said, and look back at the chart, it starred, the minchat kohanim u'minchat kohen mashiach According to Tanakama, there is Hagasha. According to Rabbi Shimon, there isn't Hagasha. Right now, we're in the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. So now, again, we're going to have to say, so what about Mincha Kohenim, Mincha Nesachim? They both get burned. They both Ba'a Biglal Atzman. They come on their own. So why are we going to exclude them? Yechol Yehotu not Hagasha. You might have thought they would also need Hagasha. Talmud Lamar V'higisha. Again, we're going to have another, right? We're going to take the word V'higisha, where it talks about Hagasha in the Pasuk, that's going to exclude. So now they say, what do you mean, Behigisha? Why is that coming to exclude? Now, first we have to, remember, there's two shlavim for all these things. First we have to find something that shows it's going to exclude something. Then we're going to have to ask, well, why are we excluding that and not anything else? So right now, we just want to deal with the word, Behigisha. Hi, Mibaile Lagufa. Don't we need the word? It's not like it's an extra word in the Pasuk. If we didn't have the word Higisha, we wouldn't have known there was such a mitzvah of Hagasha. So how could you say Higisha is to exclude? So Hi, Mibaile Lagufa, we need it for itself. Shatuna Hagasha. Right? So what do they answer? Just like we did a minute ago. Min Vihigish Vihigisha. Okay? It could have just said Vihigish Elamizbeh. The fact that it says Vihigisha, and you should bring it, it means it and not something else. So therefore, we're going to exclude Minchat Kohanim and Minchat Kohen Mashiach. And now comes our question, Umara ita l'rabot shar menachot ulotzi Minchat Kohanim and Minchat Kohen Mashiach. So why specifically is that going to be excluded? Marbe ani shar menachot sheyesh mehem lishim uba'o biglal atzman v'yesh mehem l'kohanim. Here we go. Here are the three things. It needs to have burned, like we saw. It needs to come on account of itself, like we saw. And here's the third, which we actually talked about when we did the Mishnah. V'yesh mehen l'kohanim. Remember, in the Mishnah it said anything that has kmitza, but we talked about even the mincha kohanim, mincha nesachim have kmitza, and the real focus is that it goes to the that it part of the regular menachot go to the kohanim, and therefore we say like this: the motzi ani et shtei alechem v'lechem apanim she'em mehem li'ishim. This is just review, right? The shtei alechem lechem apanim. Right? The Gemara doesn't always review for us. This is good chazara that don't get burned. They are excluded. Mincha nesachim she'ena ba'a biglal atzma, doesn't come on account of itself, but on account of a korban. U'minchat kohanim, mincha kohen mashiach, she'em mehem l'kohanim. Okay, those, no parts of it go to the kohen, it gets entirely burned. Okay, last halacha before we get to the new Mishnah, ve'herim. Okay, this is from a pasuk, in Vayikra Vav, pasuk chet. Okay, now it's talking about the minachot. Remember, it talks about them in bet, it talks about them in vav. Vayikra Vav, Pasuk Chet, it says, okay, let's start off from Zion. Zoto ata mincha, akrev ota b'nei Aaron lefnei Hashem p'nei ha-mizbeach. Okay, this is what you should do with the mincha. Ve'herim mimenu b'kumtso misolet ha-mincha u'mishamna ve'et kol ha-levona asher ha-mincha v'yiktir ha-mizbeach reach nichoach ezkarat ha-lashem. So it's basically saying, you have to take a kmitza and you have to burn it on the mizbeach, right? Okay. Now, we all know that it has to be done with your hands, but it doesn't say here you have to do kmitza with your hands. It said it in Vayikra Perek Bet. It didn't say it here. So now they're saying, in this case, you might say, right, behirim yachol b'kli. Maybe as long as you take the size of a kmitza, now how you have the measurement, because remember, the kmitza is going to be different for every person. But let's say you have a kli that we call, this is a standard komet size. Maybe the kohen could take it out, behirim yimenu could be with a kli, you might have thought. So now they say, but if you look at, it said, right, Talmud Lomar Beheirimi Menu Bikumtso. The fact that it uses the word Bikumtso, they're going to say like this, Maharama Ha'amor Lahalam Bikumtso, Aparama Amor Kan Bikumtso. Okay, now they're going to say that we learn it out from the, 1 second, okay, I used the wrong pasuk here. 1 second. Sorry, this is where it says bikumtso. I read the wrong pasuk. This is the pasuk they learn it from. Here it says v'herim imenu bikumtso, with his kumtso, which means with his fingers, you know, in the way you do kmitza. But in our pasukim, in Perek Bet, is where it says v'herim. Okay, let's go back. Sorry, I did it in the wrong order. When it talks about the minchat merchesed, okay, it says v'im minchat rachesed, right, and then it says ve'eveita. That was our pasuk. V'kriva l'kohen v'gishal l'mizbeach. The next verse, and this is why the Gemara brings it. Sorry, my confusion. The next verse says beherim hakohen min haminchat ezkirata. Says the kohen is merim from the mincha. It's ezkirata. It's memorial part. which means the part that gets burned. Notice what word is missing? Komets. It doesn't say komets there. So you might have thought he could take out of the mincha mer cheshed. Now why would you have thought, and this is why I want to do the chazara on the types, why would you have thought in the mincha mer cheshed or any of these menachot that we were talking about that are baked before, maybe you could do it with a kli? Because we said it's so difficult to do it with your fingers because it's already baked, it's already hard. So maybe you would have thought, in this case, you could do it with a kli. Comes the Herim Mimenu in Perek Vav, where it says, Herim Mimenu Bekumtso, there it says, with your kmitza, right, with your fingers, therefore also here it's going to be with your fingers. Okay, now we're at the next Mishnah. We're going to get to the rest of the list here. Eile tu'unot nufa ve'ein tu'unot hagasha. Now we're going to talk about which ones need the waving, but not the bringing to the mizbech. Now we're getting out of the category of menachot. We're going to talk about all sorts of other things. Log shemen shel metzora ve'ashamo. Okay, remember the metzora has to bring a korban asham. With that asham, you bring this oil, and you put the oil on the ear, the finger, and the toe of the metzora. That log of shemen and the asham get waved. Okay? They get waved. It says so in the psukim. What?
It could spill.
It could spill. Well, it's in a kli, so right. Just like the blood spilling. Okay. Veha bikurim, kedivrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and bikurim need waving, according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. A lot of the things in the Mishnah here aren't so clear. We're going to learn them better in the Gemara, like what's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and why does it say kedivrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? Okay, the imurim, if a person brings a shlamim, remember what happens. The shlamim, we shecht it. We take the parts that are supposed to get burned along with, okay, there's a little bit that needs to get burned. The chazeh and the shok go to the kohen. Okay, so we split it kind of into three. There's the imurim that get burned. There's the chazeh v'shok that go to the kohen. And then there's the meat, the rest of it goes to the owners and they get to eat it. So what do? With the two parts that don't go to the owner, we take the imurim and the chazan, the shok, and they need waving. They don't need hagasha, all these ones, but they need waving. Okay, it appears in the psukim. I'll just read you, let's see what psukim they bring here. Shok ha-truma v'chazeh ha-tnufa. I'll read you from Vayikra Yud Tevav. It comes up in a few verses, we'll see it. I think it's already in tomorrow's daf where it starts talking about, maybe it's at the end of today's, I forget, but where it starts talking about exactly how you do this. I think it's in the beginning of tomorrow's as to which one goes on top and which one on the bottom, and there seems to be a contradiction between the psukim. But let's just take Vayikra Yud, for example. Shokat shuma v'chazeh tnufa al ishei chalavim yaviu lahanif tnufa lefnei Hashem. Okay, the shok and the chazeh on top of the chelev, which is the parts that you burn, the imurim, you have to bring lahanif tnufa lefnei Hashem. Okay, notice it says lahanif tnufa. Some people are going to darshan behanif tnufa. And it says in another place, hanafa, and right, it says, there's like four terms used, and they say, from the four terms, we're going to get to how exactly you do the waving. Okay, that's one of the reasons, one of the drashot that they get to the four directions that you wave it in, which we'll get to soon. Echad anashim ve'echad nashim. Okay, they're both chayav in hanafa, both men and women. Although we're going to see not 100%. Okay, the women be Yisrael ve'lo ba'achirim. It applies to Jews and not to others. Okay, what exactly this means is unclear. The Gemara is going to explain it later. Again, according to the Gemara's reading of the Mishnah, shtei halechem u'shnei kivsei atzeret. Okay, that's another thing that needs tenufa and not hagasha. We learned a lot already about the tnufa, the shtei alechem, and the shnei kivsei atzeret. Remember, you take them, and we're going to learn it right now. Ketzad oseh, noten shtei alechem al gabei shnei kvasim. You put the two lechems on top of the two kvasim, umeniach shtei yadav lemata, and then you put your two hands below. Molich umevi male umori. Those are the four directions. You go forward and backwards, up and down. Shenemar asher hunaf asher huram. Okay, since it says asher hunaf asher huram, so that teaches us. So some people say it's asher hunaf asher huram, and because it says lahanif tnufa, that gets you to four, and it's for those four kivunim, those four directions. Or you could say asher hunaf asher huram. Hanafa is waving, huram is lifting. So forward backwards is huram. Hunaf is up and down. I'm sorry. Hunaf is forward and back, and Huram is up and down. Right? Huram laharim, to lift. Tnufa, and like I said the other day, this is where we get the Nanue Lulav. There's a whole interesting study about how this develops, because if you think about those four directions, it looks like a cross. So once Christianity became popular, and I once gave a whole shiur on this, the Rishonim kind of had to reinterpret this. And there's also Gemara's, it seems to me there was a historical thing that caused them to change it, that it ended up six directions. Because it's Molichu Mevi, Lamisha, the Gemara says, Lamisha Arba Ruchot Shelo. So Molichu Mevi, they end up saying it's all four directions. And then up and down is another two. So that Molichu Mevi is Molichu Mevi in all four directions. And Maleo Morid is then the other two. So that's why we do the Lulav in all four directions and then up and down. Okay, there's definitely a strong possibility that the change in halacha happened here because they didn't want it to look like they were making a cross once that became a thing. Okay. So then you put your two hands underneath. This all happens. Okay, we're going to see later, but this happens. There's a machloket. We're going to see later in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, when do you take the shnei kivsei atzeret? When they're whole, alive. Okay, you take them while they're alive, and you wave them with the bread on top of them. Now the Mishnah is going to tell us later that you also wave them once they're no longer alive. There's a debate here about whether, when you do the second waving, is that also with the bread, or is the bread just with the live? And then, when you wave it the second time, that's not the whole animal. Then you just take the imurim. Then it's like a regular korban shlamim, because the shnei kvasim here is a korban shlamim. So this ends up being waved twice, not because there's a special halacha that you have to wave it twice. It's because there's a first halacha, which is it needs waving with the bread while it's still alive. That's a unique halacha by the shtei alechem. And the second waving is just because it's a korban shlamim. And that's just the imurim. It's not the whole thing. It's just the imurim, and you don't do it with the bread. So there's a debate about whether you do the bread in both wavings or only in the first waving. It's not clear from the Mishnah here, and that's why there's a debate. Tnufa hayta b'mizrach. Okay, this is why I brought the map today. Where do you do the tnufa? B'mizrach. What does it mean b'mizrach? B'mizrach l'mizbeach. But, okay, remember, the mizbeach is opposite the opening to the Heichal, and it says you have to do the tnufa l'fnei Hashem. L'fnei Hashem, generally, we say, is the area opposite the opening of the Heichal. So therefore, they say, what it really means here is even on the Mizrach. There's a debate. Does it mean it has to be on the Mizrach and the Mizbeach? Remember, the Mizrach and the Mizbeach is the farther away side than the, right over there where the Yizrach Kohanim is, okay? The farther side from the Mizbeach, away from the Heichal, the opposite side. So some people say it has to be on the Mizrach. Some people say it can be on the Mizrach. It could also be on the Ma'arav, because the Ma'arav is even closer to Lifnei Hashem. Okay, but the tnufa, okay, so either it has to be Mizrach or it can be Mizrach. The Hagasha b'Ma'arav, but the Hagasha, obviously, if you're going to bring it to the Mizbeach, so that, we already said, has to be Lifnei Hashem, and therefore it has to be on, we said, the Keren Dromi Ma'aravit, and therefore it has to be b'Ma'arav. Tnufot kodmot l'Hagashot. Okay, the tnufa you do before you do the Hagasha. First you wave it, then you bring it to the Mizbeach. Minchata Omer, and that's obviously only in cases where you do both, right? If you don't do both, obviously we don't care. But now we're in the topic of those that you... we're actually in the ones where you do tnufa and not hagasha. So it's interesting that they say that. Minchat ha'omer u'minchat kna'ot tu'unot hagasha u'tnufa. You could say that maybe this is why it's an introduction to this section. When you do them both together, which we're now going to say when, minchat ha'omer and the minchat v'sota, you need hagasha and tnufa. Lechem ha'panim u'minchat nesachim ein tu'unot lo hagasha v'lo tnufa. Okay, they don't need tnufa, they don't need hagasha. And that's because the psukim don't mention anything about anything having to do with this. And again, we saw in the beginning of today, why we exclude the shtei alechem, because they don't get burned at all. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Rabbi Shimon's now going to say this statement that's not going to be so clear, but we're going to explain it in a minute. Shlosha minim tu'unim shlosha mitzvot. Shtayim b'chol achat ve'echat. U'shlishit ein behen. Okay, we're now going to say this like a numbers game. There's three types, and there's three aspects. And each of those three types is going to have two of the aspects, but not the third. Okay, and it's going to be one needs A and B, one needs B and C, and one needs A and C. Okay, if that's the easiest way to explain it, to have it in your head. So now we'll see. Ve'eluhein, here are the three things. Zivchei shalmei yachid. Okay, the zvachim of shlamim of a yachid. Right, that's a regular korban shlamim yachid. Zivchei shalmei tzibur. Okay, which we said are the shtei alechem. Right, that's your zevach shlamim that the tzibur brings. V'asha mitzora. Okay, here we go. Those are the three things. Now we're going to talk about what are the three aspects or the three halachot. Zivchei shamei yachid, ti'unim smicha, chayim, utnufa shchutim. The three things I'll already tell you. There's smicha, okay, which is always done when the animal's alive. There's tnufa, when it's chayim, when it's still alive. And there's tnufa, when it's shchuta, okay, when it's already shechted. This is what we talked about before, that the shtei alechem, right, you have to wave twice, once before, once after. Okay, but now we're going to see all these things either have smicha and tnufa, or smicha and tnufa when it's alive, or smicha and tnufa when it's dead, or tnufa when it's alive and when it's dead. Okay, so we're going to see now. So zavchei shamei yachid, tunim smicha. Okay, when you bring a korban shlamim, you do smicha on the korban. Chayim, obviously, when the animal's alive, because smicha is only done alive. The reason they say chayim here is to distinguish it from the tnufa. Utnufa shkutim. And you wave it, that's what we learned. You do the imurim, so if it's only the imurim, it's obviously once it's dead. Ve'em bahem tnufa chayim. And you don't wave them when they're still alive. Zivchei shalmei tzibor, which is the shtei alechem, and the shnei kvasim, tunim tnufa chayim ushchutim. So you wave the animals, again, it's not clear, is it the animals with the bread or not with the bread, but you wave them when they're alive and once they're shechted. Ve'em bahem smicha, and there's no smicha by them. Va'asha metzora, you can already figure out what it's going to be, ta'un smicha utnufa. You do smicha on the korban, and you do tnufa chai. You do tnufa when it's alive, ve'ein bo tnufa shachut. You don't do tnufa once it's already dead. Okay. Gemara starts out, Tana Rabbanan with a braita. V'kriv oto la'asham ve'et log hashemen. Okay, here's our pasuk. It's our pasuk about Mitzorah. It's in Vayikra Yudalid Yubet. It says like this. I'll read the whole thing. V'lakach ha'kohen et keves ha'echad, v'kriv oto la'asham. Okay, you take one of the pasim and you bring it for korban asham. Ve'et log hashemen, and you bring the log hashemen, and here comes our big pasuk, our big important words, ve'heinif otam, and you wave both of them, right? Tnufa lifnei Hashem. So, according to the Braita, they say, milameh ve'heinif otam tnufa, milameh tunim tnufa ke'echad. From here you learn, since it says ve'heinif otam, that you wave them both together. How do you know if you wave one on its own and one on its own, right? And then you wave the log of shemen by itself, and you wave, this sounds also very similar to the arba minim. If we're talking about waving, like there's a whole debate in sukkah, if you remember. It was one of those strange debates because it's so hard for us to understand because we always obviously wave the arba minim together. But there was a whole debate. Do they need egg? Do they need to be tied together? Could you maybe wave each one separately? Okay, it was definitely raised as a possibility. So here they say, what if you did each one separately? Yatsa. How do you know your yotze anyway? Talmud lamar v'hikriv oto l'asham. Okay, it says, notice what it says here. We'll read the pasuk again. V'hikriv oto l'asham, which was talking about the keves. And then it says, ve'et log hashemen. So it treats them each as two individual things. It doesn't say v'kriv et hakeves v'log hashemen, as if they were together. It lists them separately. Then it says v'hinif otam, puts them together. But because they were separated in the beginning, it shows that if you didn't do it together, it's okay. V'hinif, okay, now we're going to darshan this word, hinif. Yachol yanif v'yachzor v'yanif. Okay, you might have thought maybe you wave one and then you wave the other. Talmud lomar tnufa, velo tnufot. Okay, therefore it says, therefore it says tnufa, and it doesn't say tnufot, which shows that it's a singular tnufa, only one. I was thinking this wasn't one of the, okay. You might have thought, yanif, v'yachzir, v'yanif means, you might have thought, since it has them in the pasuk separated, and it has them in the pasuk together, that maybe you need to do both. Each one separately and both of them together. That's it. Really should be yachzor v'yanif, yachzor v'yanif, yachzor v'yanif, because it's really three. Therefore, it says tnufa v'lo tnufot, and therefore it's clear it's only one. Lifnei Hashem, what do we learn from Lifnei Hashem? This was the halacha in the Mishnah. Bamizrach, you do it on the Mizrach. Okay, what it really means is Bamizrach Lifnei Hashem, meaning it could even be Bamizrach. V'hamar Lifnei Hashem yachol b'ma'arav. But doesn't it say in a different source when it says Lifnei Hashem? Okay, this source is talking about the Hagasha. You might have thought it's b'ma'arav, and then they end up saying, well, it's actually drom ma'arav. Okay, but what they first say is, anytime you hear Lifnei Hashem, doesn't that always mean the western side, because that's the side closest to the Heichal. So, Amre, hanemile mincha, di'ikre chatat, v'chatat tu'una yisod, v'keren dromit mizrachit, lo hayalo yisod. Aval hacha lifnei Hashem kriyan bei. The distinguishing between the lifnei Hashem in the hanafa and the lifnei Hashem by the hagashana mincha. When it talks about a mincha is called a chatat also, and a chatat needs yisod. Okay, the chatat needs to be done. You have to pour the shirayim of the chatat, the remainder, if you remember, into the yisod. Now look at the map, right? Where's the yisod? Which side? Right? It's on the northern, right, and the western side. Okay, there's no on the eastern side and the south side, there's no yisod. So therefore, if you remember though, it juts out from the marav side. And that's exactly on the corner of the marav dromi side. Okay, and that's how they get that it's keren maravi dromi. But that's a unique halacha to the mincha, because the mincha is also called chatat, and therefore, where is it called chatat, by the way? In Vayikra Vav, it says, kodesh kodashimi ka chatat ka asham. You remember that? So since they compare it to a chatat, it's not actually a chatat. Since they compare it to a chatat, we say, therefore it has dinim like a chatat. So when we talk about hagasha, you have to bring it to the mizbeach, you have to bring it to the side where there's a yesod. Whereas here, by tshnufa, it's not connected to that at all. So lufnei Hashem by itself could still be on the mizrach side as long as it's opposite the exit to the hecha. Okay, now we're going to understand those strange lines in the Mishnah that weren't so clear. Habikurim kedivrei Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, there are actually two of them, but the assumption here is we're talking about the earlier one. The earlier Rav Elazar ben Yaakov lived in the time of the Mikdash, and they attribute most of Masechet Midot to him, because he was the one who kind of gave us information, and that's why it makes a lot of sense that they're talking about Bikurim according to him, because he was the one who knew about Bikurim, because he had been living in the time of the Mikdash. So, according to Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, now we're going to understand my Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, where's his shita that Bikurim needs Shnufa? Detanya, here's a braita, Vilakacha Kohen, okay, this is Vilakacha Kohen, Hatena Miyadecha, right, very famous pasuk. The Kohen takes the basket that you bring, V'inichu lifnei mizbach Hashem lokecha, and he puts it down before the mizbech. Limed ala Bikurim shetunim Shnufa, Devrei Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Okay, first of all, we don't yet know where he learns this from, but basically, his drasha is, because it says v'lakacha kohen, we can learn that they need to be waved. Okay, my time at Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Where did he get this from? It certainly doesn't appear in the pshat. Gamar yad yad mishlamim. Okay, you have to understand the next pasuk. The next pasuk is, it's not the next pasuk. Wait, where is it? Right, yafeh, thank you. V'lakacha kohen atena miyadecha. Gamar yad yad mishlamim. There yad appears. And by the Korban Shlamim, it says, Yadav tivienu et ishe Hashem, et achelev al achazeh yivienu, et achazeh lahanif oto tnufa lefnei Hashem. Okay, so you have to bring the ishe Hashem, the chelev and the chazeh, right? And you bring it. Et achazeh lahanif oto tnufa lehashem. There it says, Yadav tivienu. Your hands have to bring it. Here it says, the coin takes the tena miyadecha. Yad there, talking about tnufa. Yad there must also be talking about tnufa. Okay, and therefore, makanko. Oh, so now we're going to say, okay, so if it says, if we're going to have this zera shava, we take this zera shava all the way. Makan kohen, aflahalan kohen. By the bikurim, who's the subject of that sentence? Vilakach, who does the tnufa? The kohen. Therefore, also in the imurim of the shlamim, also the kohen does it. Umala halam ba'alim. We've seen this drasha, by the way. Umala halam ba'alim afkam ba'alim. Now we're going to say, but there, who's yadav tivienu? Who's bringing it? The ba'alim. So therefore, also here in the Bikurim, it's the ba'alim. Now, this doesn't make any sense. Haketzad. How can you say, one teaches to the other, it's the Kohen, and the other teaches to the other that it's the ba'alim, the owners of the korban? How could you have both? No, you can have both. How do we do it? Kohen miniach yado, tachat yidei ba'alim uminif. The Kohen puts his hands underneath the hands of the Baalim, and they wave it together. Okay, now, there's a debate about how exactly this is done, because there's a bit of a problem. If the Kohen puts his hands right under the hands of the Baalim, then there's a chatzitza between his hands and the Bikurim, or whatever it is he's waving, right, and the Korban. So now, there's possibly a problem, and either you say, it's okay, because his hands are touching the Baalim's hands, and the Baalim are holding that, and then it's okay. Some people say, no, he puts it on the basket, okay? And the owner holds the basket higher up, and the Kohen holds the basket lower down. And they're both holding it one under the other, but they're not actually touching each other, they're touching the basket, okay? Which maybe is a little more germ, you know, that the Kohen touching everybody's hands think about rubber gloves. It would have been a good thing to use. Also a chatzitza, exactly. That would obviously be problematic. Okay, so now that proves, that's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Shita. So we see here he shows that you need shnufa for bikurim. Now they say, okay, wait. It sounds like if you read that Mishnah, what would you assume? He's the only one who holds this. But now the Gemara says, "V'leimanami k'divrei Rabbi Yehuda." Why don't you say also? It's like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and Rabbi Yehuda. D'tanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Because here's a bright of Rabbi Yehuda. V'hinachto. Okay, this is okay. There, let's just read the first pasuk, which is not v'hinachto, but the pasuk we read already. Sevelakacha kohen atenam yadecha v'hinicho lifnei mizbach Hashem lokacha. He places it. Then the famous Mikra Bikurim, which is one of the texts in the Torah that says when you do this ceremony, this is the words, these are the words you have to say. And why is it so famous? Because we say part of it at the Leila Seder. But this part we don't say at Leila Seder. The beginning is Va'atayineh beti et reshit pri ha'adamasher natatali. Okay, I'm now bringing the first of my fruits. V'hinachto lifnei Hashem Elokecha, and I placed it before Hashem Elokecha. Now one could say there's no reason to darshan this because one is when the Kohen does it, and one is in the declaration that you're saying. So it's not exactly repetitive. But the Gemara takes liberty, or the Brito take liberty, to darshan words that, you know, you could claim are unnecessary. So Rabbi Yehuda says, why does it say v'inachto? Zot tnufa. That teaches you about tnufa. So now they say, atamir zot tnufa, o'enu ela hanacha. What do you mean? It says lahaniach. Why would you assume that lahaniach, to place something, means to wave it? So then they say, k'shuomer v'hinicho, hare hanacha amor. Ah, when we said v'hinicho the first time, that already taught us hanacha. So ha'mani makem v'hinachto. So then why is there this extra word, v'hinachto? So tnufa, that teaches you tnufa. So what do you see here? Rabbi Yehuda also darshan, the bikurim need waving. Okay? So why did you say only Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov? So we're going to have two answers. One is a little less convincing, I think, than the other. Amar Rava, ho'ilu botech bo katuv tchila, upatach bo katuv tchila. Which one darshan the earlier verse? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He darshan the verse in Vayikra Kavav Pasuk Dalid, which was in the beginning of the section of the Bikurim. And Rabbi Yehuda darshan the pasuk from Vayikra, from Dvarim Kavav Dalid. And I'm just, my head's in Vayikra with the Minachot. And Rabbi Yehuda darshins from six psukim later in Vayikra, in Dvarim Perkafav Pasuk Yud. Okay? That's a bit of a weak proof as to why we would choose one over the other. The second answer is a little more convincing, and I'm going to sort of expand on it a little. Rabbi Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Ho'il V'Rav Gavrei. He was a greater rabbi. Now, you could say he was a greater rabbi because he was the one who knew about the Mikdash. And it's not necessarily he was so great in every way, although it does say all of his limudim were kavanaki, they were perfect. Okay? But also, it makes the most sense here because he was actually in the Beit HaMikdash. If we're going to talk about Bikurim, it could be Rabbi Yehuda darshed it from a different place, but really learned the whole thing from the fact that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said it. Okay, continuing along. So how do we read this? My kamar. What does this mean? I didn't understand this. I'm Rav Yehuda Hachi kamar. This is what it means. Echad anashim ve'echad nashim, korbanam ta'un tnufa. If a man brings a korban, a woman brings a korban, it needs tnufa. But tnufa atzma b'Yisrael avalo b'yidei nashim. Okay? Well, you might have thought it meant Yisrael, v'lo achirim meant Yisrael and not non-Jews. No. It means even though the woman's chayav, she can't do the tenufa, which, by the way, makes a lot of sense because the women weren't allowed into that area. If you're going to do it in the area of Lifnei Hashem, she's not allowed to go there. Tanu Rabbanan, so in other words, she's chayav in something, but she actually can't do it. So you could say the Kohen's motzi her, or maybe her husband could be motzi her. There's different ways, you know, someone else does the tenufa for her, especially since, anyway, the Kohen and the Baalim did it. So in this case, just the Kohen could do it. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we're going to see another bracha which teaches this. B'nei Yisrael menifim ve'ein avdei kochavim menichim. B'nei Yisrael menifim ve'ein hanashot menifot. Okay, this is from the pasuk which says, it says B'nei Yisrael, I forget the pasuk, one second, let me look it up. It's Vayikra Zion Kaptet. Okay. Taber b'nei Yisrael emor ha'makriv et zevach shlamav la'Hashem yavi et korbanu la'Hashem mizevach shlamav. Okay? Yadav tivienu et yishe Hashem. This is the whole halacha about tnufa. And it prefaces it by saying, Daber el b'nei Yisrael emor. So they darshin, b'nei Yisrael, not non-Jews and not women. Okay? Amar Rabbi Yossi, Matzino Shechilek HaKatub Ben Korban Yisrael LeKorban Avdei Chochavim. Okay, we see here that the Pasuk separated Korban Yisrael and Korban of non-Jew. LeKorban Nashim B'Smicha. And also from a Korban Nashim, that a Korban Nashim doesn't need Smicha. We learned that Nashim Sumchot is Rashut. And that's the whole studio from Mitzvot Aseh Shazman Grama. Yachol Nachlok B'Tnufa. Maybe we'd also distinguish B'Tnufa. Lo. Malich Halak B'Smicha. Sha'asmicha B'Balim. Nachlok b'tznufa, sha'tznufa b'kohanim. You might have thought, So why would you have thought not to make the same distinction as in smicha? Because smicha has to be with the owners. So what if you might have thought, since smicha is with owners and tznufa is with kohanim, so we wouldn't necessarily, it's a question, nachlok b'tznufa, sha'tznufa b'kohanim. In other words, just because smicha we make this distinction doesn't necessarily mean we're going to make the same distinction by tznufa, because tznufa is done by kohanim. So then they say, im ke matam alomer b'nei Yisrael. So then, logically, you might not have thought that tznufa would be the same. But comes the drasha to say, b'nei Yisrael menifim ve'en ovdei kochavim menichim. B'nei Yisrael menifim ve'en hanashim menifot. Okay, we'll stop here for today. We'll pick up with other drashot on this word B'nai Yisrael. Maybe it's not coming to exclude them. Maybe it's coming to exclude others. We'll see that tomorrow.